Good morning, friends and colleagues. I'm very sorry that I could not join you in the conference because of a visa problem. I couldn't obtain the visa, and that is why I'm not able to be with you here. But technology makes me to interact with you from a distance. I would like to briefly describe the current status of cervical cancer screening in developing countries and discuss some of the very interesting results from recent studies in the context of what we can do for preventing cervical cancer using screening in developing countries. Cervical cancer is one of the most preventable cancers among humans. We have several options for cervical cancer control. Prevention, which can be now potentially obtained by using vaccination strategies. It's a very exciting option, but there are several challenges, and there needs to be further developments and improvements in obtaining the full potential of prevention of cervical cancer by vaccination. The second approach is, again, prevention of invasive cervical cancer by screening. Early detection by screening results in early diagnosis of cervical precancerous lesions, and successful treatment of these lesions can prevent invasive cervical cancer. The third approach is clinical early detection of early invasive cervical cancer and treating them appropriately. The treatment results are satisfactory for very early invasive cervical cancers like stage 1A or 1B. So there are very interesting opportunities for controlling cervical cancer. However, in spite of all these opportunities, cervical cancer continues to be an important problem in developing countries due to lack of organized cancer control measures. Even now, cancer cases present in very advanced clinical stages. There are no organized screening programs or focused early detection programs in many countries. Say if you take sub-Saharan Africa and many Asiatic countries, there are no screening programs at all. And in many, many developing countries, there are limited diagnostic and treatment facilities in health services with inadequately trained human resources and limited training opportunities. The healthcare costs are highly variable, and there are several barriers for cervical cancer prevention in developing countries. When we evaluated survival from cervical cancer in developing countries, we had very interesting results. As you see here, there is almost an 8 to 10-fold variation in survival rates from cervical cancer in different countries. The highest survival, around 80%, is observed in South Korea and Singapore. And survival rates are as low as like less than 20% in African countries like the Gambia and the Uganda, while countries like India, Zimbabwe, and Philippines have intermediate five-year survival rates around 40%. What this shows is there's an enormous potential in improving cervical cancer control in many countries. There are several opportunities for organizing or improving screening in developing countries. You know, there are opportunities in formulating national policies, in taking proactive action in resource allocation, and there are opportunities for phased development of screening services, in human resource development, and there is an immense scope for investments in diagnosis and treatment. But what is required is a plan and a political commitment to achieve, to realize these opportunities. Cervical cancer screening has been organized in some developing countries, particularly in Latin America. Many, many countries have either regional programs or opportunistic programs, and small countries have national programs. But however, the coverage is still very low. Among some of the selected countries, a lifetime coverage by at least a single screening exceeds 60% in countries like Cuba, Chile, Costa Rica, Singapore, and South Korea. Even though there are programs, cervical cancer screening programs, in some of the countries which are already listed already, the impact of such screening has been very limited due to various reasons, possibly due to poor quality screening and poor linkage with diagnosis and treatment and lack of quality assurance. And several factors have played a role in not realizing the full impact of whatever efforts which have been already made. So one can say that so far the impact of screening in developing countries has been extremely limited. In this context, several studies address alternative screening tests which are alternative to cervical cytology. In cervical cytology, works provided there is quality assurance, there is repeated screening, there are enough organizational capabilities to ensure adequate coverage, proper processing of the cytology slides, reporting, and then linking the positive women with diagnosis and treatment. It is highly resource intensive. Unless these resources are put in and optimum cytology is practiced, it is unlikely to be successful. So people were searching for alternatives, and some of the low technology alternatives like visual screening and some of the high technology alternatives like HPV testing have been widely evaluated in several countries. From a programmatic point of view, the current style of cervical cancer screening in the developed world that is frequently repeated. Some countries they repeat 3 years, once in 5 years, or even once in 2 years. This is not possible in many developing countries. So people have looked into reduced frequency of screening, even once a lifetime screening, twice a lifetime, or once in 10 years. There is reduced frequency of screening. What's the impact? Another important alternative programmatic approach has been reducing the number of visits in order to improve adherence to diagnosis and treatment. The conventional approach involves 3 or 4 visits. The new paradigms involve 1 or 2 visits where you screen, diagnose and treat, or you screen and treat in 1 or 2 visits. So essentially, people have looked into the availability of real-time screening tests so that immediate linkage with diagnosis and treatment or with treatment is possible. Several cross-sectional studies have addressed the accuracy of the different screening tests in detecting cervical intraepithelial neoplasia, particularly high-grade lesions in developing countries. So we know what is the range for these different screening approaches. For example, for cytology, the sensitivity has ranged from 31 to 78%, but consistently high specificity exceeding 90%. For HPV testing, the sensitivity has ranged from 61 to 90%, with specificity ranging from 60 to 94%. For visual approaches, there has been a wide range again. For visual inspection with 4 or 5% acetic acid, the sensitivity has ranged between 50 to 96%. And specificity between 44 to 97%. And recently, visual screening after Lugol-Zidane application has also been evaluated and has somewhat similar test characteristics like visual inspection with acetic acid. The core message is HPV testing is more reproducible of all the screening tests. It has, in most studies, it has a higher sensitivity than cytology or visual inspection with acetic acid. Has a lower specificity than cytology. Visual screening in developing countries has provided somewhat similar sensitivity as that of cytology, but its specificity has been low. For the first time, we have opportunities for evaluating the new screening approaches in terms of definite outcome variables, like incidence of precancerous lesions or detection rate of precancerous lesions following screening, And there are now studies even addressing what is the incidence and mortality reduction following a single lifetime screening using cervical cytology, quality assured conventional cervical cytology, or visual inspection with acetic acid, or HPV testing. One of the landmark studies in this context has been the randomized controlled trial of screen and treat approach for cervical cancer prevention in Cape Town in South Africa, conducted by Dr. Denny, Dr. Tom Wright, and colleagues. Very exciting results. In this study, around 6,500 women have been randomized to three groups. All the 6,000 women, odd women, received screening with HPV testing using hybrid capture 2 or visual inspection with acetic acid. And then they were randomized to three groups of around 2,100 women in each group. In group 1, in around 2,160 women, whoever was HPV positive received cryotherapy. The second group of 2,227 women, whoever was positive on visual inspection with acetic acid, received cryotherapy. I mean, only lesions which are suitable for cryotherapy were provided cryotherapy. Others were referred for other types of treatment. And the third group of 2,165 women were assigned for a delayed evaluation, where they will come back after 6 months and then they will be evaluated again. At 6 months, all the women in all the groups were investigated with colposcopy, directed biopsy depending upon colposcopic findings, and the frequency of CAN2 plus lesions were counted. At 6 months, in the HPV test and treat group, there were 15 women diagnosed with CAN2 plus lesions vis-a-vis 43 women in the VIA and treat group, and then in the control group with the delayed evaluation, there are more than 60 women with CAN2 plus lesions. And at 12 months, the prevalence of CAN2 plus lesions were 1.42% in the HPV and treat group, 2.9% in the VIA and treat group, and 5.4% in the delayed evaluation group. So the results showed something like a 70% reduction in the prevalence of CAN2 plus lesions in the HPV test and treat group, and around 40% reduction in the prevalence of CAN2 plus lesions in the VIA and treat group as compared to the delayed evaluation group. This is the first time in a randomized trial the efficacy of the new approaches like HPV testing and visual inspection with acetic acid were demonstrated at the level of CAN lesions in a developing country setting. So these results show that HPV testing and treating has a higher efficacy in preventing CAN as compared to VIA. But certainly VIA has an impact as compared to the control group. It reduced the prevalence of lesions by 39%. Now I'll talk about the preliminary results coming from two important trials in India. There's a cluster randomized control trial of VIA screening in Dindigul district in southern India, conducted by IIRC in collaboration with the Christian Fellowship Community Health Center in Ambalikai, the Cancer Institute in Chennai, India. The study is conducted in Dindigul district in southern India. It involves around more than 800 villages, women living in more than 800 villages in Dindigul district. The eligible women are women aged 30 to 59 years with intact uterus resident in these villages. The objective of the trial is primarily to evaluate the reduction in cervical cancer incidence and mortality following a single round of screening, VIA screening, provided by trained nurses as compared to a control group with no screening. Why a control group with no screening? The routine care in India is no screening. There are no screening programs anywhere in India. And we do not have the evidence that when the trial was instituted, a single round of VAS screening will be followed by a reduction in incidence and mortality. And it is very, very important to detect if there is any real benefit using such new paradigms and such new screening tests. And in the context of the trial, we are also assessing the cost effectiveness. The trial was initiated in 1999. In fact, the recruitment commenced in 2000. The screening was completed in 2003. And now 7 years follow-up are available from the beginning of the screening. In fact, the most updated results from this trial has been now just submitted for publication. The study design is a cluster randomized control trial. So there's more than 800 villages have been clustered into 113 village clusters. Overall, there were around 80,000 eligible women in these village clusters. They were randomly allocated to the intervention group, 57 clusters, which comprised of around 49,000 women, and 56 clusters to the control group, around 31,000 women in the control group who received health education on cervical cancer screening and where to avail services. Eventually, around 5% of the women in the control group seeked screening services. And in the intervention group, women were provided with a single round of screening in village screening clinics by trained nurses. Whoever was positive on screening, VAS screening, was investigated by colposcopy, again provided by trained nurses. The colposcopic finding was categorized in terms of normal, benign lesions, low-grade CIN, high-grade CIN, and probable invasive cancer. And women with colposcopic features of CIN were directed biopsies, again by nurses. And if the nurses decided that the lesion can be treated with cryotherapy, immediately after directing biopsy, in the same sitting as screening, they provided double freeze cryotherapy. Larger lesions were referred for loop excision, and suspected invasive cancers were referred for diagnosis and treatment. Both the screening study cohorts were linked with the population-based cancer registry, the mortality registration system, and active household surveys for documenting cervical cancer incidence and mortality in the study groups. Every effort was taken to accurately count the cervical cancers and cervical cancer deaths occurring in the study groups. And ultimately, these were compared, taking into account an intention to treat analysis and cluster design to document results in terms of hazard ratios for cervical cancer incidence and mortality. 2/3 of the 49,000 women invited for screening participated in screening. That means around 32,000 women were screened. 10% of the women were positive on VAS screening, and almost all of them received colposcopy because colposcopy was immediately provided in the field, in the same sitting. And for every 100 women screened with VIA, one woman was detected with CIN 2 to 3 lesions or invasive cancer. And for every 100 women screened, around 6 women were detected with CIN 1 lesions. In fact, the positivity rate was age dependent. The detection rate was also age dependent. In young ages like 30 to 39 years, the screen positivity rate was high. The detection rate of CIN lesions was also high, possibly because the transformation zone is visible on the ectocervix. But in postmenopausal women or women in the age group, say, let us say 45 to 59 years, the positivity rates were on the lower side. The detection rate of CIN was also on the lower side. Now we graphically show the test positivity rates by age, the participation rates for screening by age groups, and the CIN detection rates, and the cervical cancer detection rate as a result of screening. And as you see here, the participation rate declines with advancing age. The CIN detection rate also declines with advancing age, but cervical cancer rates increase by advancing age. Okay. These are the results after 7 years of follow-up. As I said earlier, we have submitted the paper for publication. It is being peer reviewed. In fact, we have submitted the fourth revision recently to the Lancet, and we hope the results will be published soon. Until that time, I wouldn't like you to quote these results until these are published. But what we observe now is, 7 years from the beginning of screening, there were 147 invasive cervical cancers in the intervention group, the VIA screening group, as compared to 154 invasive cervical cancers in the control group. And this has translated into taking into person years into account. You know, there were 274,000 person years in the intervention group, as opposed to 180,000 person years in the control group. This has resulted in something like a 25% reduction in cervical cancer incidence in the VIA screening group. There were around 83 deaths from cervical cancer in the intervention group as compared to 92 deaths in the control group, which has translated into something like a 35% reduction in mortality from cervical cancer following VIA screening. These results are very interesting, exciting, and soon we may see this published in literature. Now I will briefly discuss another important randomized trial, which compares a single round of visual screening with acetic acid or HPV testing or conventional cytology in cervical cancer screening in Maharashtra state in India, in collaboration with the Tata Memorial Center and the Nargisthat Memorial Cancer Hospital in Barshi, India. The trial is carried out in Usmanabad district. The trial involves more than 600 villages again. The eligible women are those who are aged 30 to 59 years with intact uterus. So this trial has also was initiated in 1999, recruitment commenced in 2000, screening was completed in 2003. Now 7 year follow-up has accrued. The preliminary results have been published in terms of detection rates of cervical precancerous lesions. Now the most updated results in terms of reduction in cervical cancer incidence and mortality in the different intervention groups as compared to the control group or as compared to the cytology group are being analyzed, and we hope to publish the final results by early next year. The primary objective of this trial is to evaluate the reduction in cervical cancer incidence and mortality associated with a single round of screening with VIA or cytology or HPV testing as compared to a control group with no screening, or to evaluate the cervical cancer burden reduction associated with VIA or HPV testing as compared to conventional cytology screening. In the context of the trial, the cost effectiveness of different approaches are also being evaluated. It's again a cluster randomized trial. Involves around 52 clusters, which have around 142,000 eligible women. They've been randomized to 4 groups. 13 clusters to the VIA group, around 36,000 women, and 13 clusters to the cytology group, similar number of women, 13 clusters to the HPV group, which has around 36,000 again, and the control group consists of around 31,000 women. The control group women receive health education on cervical cancer screening, and in fact, around 10% of the women seeked screening services, and they were screened with cytology when they seek services. When we invited women for screening, 71% participated in each of the screening arms. Compliance with colposcopy was high in the VIA group because the VIA test results were immediate and colposcopy was provided immediately. And in the cytology group and in the HPV group, women were invited for colposcopy after having the screening results. So the colposcopy compliance was around 87%. And in terms of detection rates, for every 100 women screened with any one of the screening tests, one woman was detected with CIN 2 to 3 lesions or invasive cancer. In fact, the detection rates of CIN lesions were similar across the screening groups. These are the stage distribution of cervical cancer in the different study groups. As you can obviously see here, there was considerable downstaging in the screening arms. More than 50% of the women were diagnosed in stage 1 and 2 in the screening groups, as compared to considerably lesser proportion of women in such stage categories. For example, in the control group, around 25% of the women were diagnosed in stage 1, as compared to, say, more than 60% of the women in stage 1 in the HPV screening group, and about 50% each in the cytology and VIA screening groups. These are very preliminary results I'm showing. In fact, you can see the excess detection of cases by screening, followed by a fall in the incidence of cervical cancer cases in all the screening groups. The control group incidence is remaining more or less similar. There is some underdiagnosis in the control group, which we are addressing at the moment. Updated results for 8 years following screening will be published soon. In conclusion, I would like to emphasize that for successful cervical cancer prevention using screening, the key element is to link screening with effective treatment and improve screening coverage. Unless these three elements are achieved, screening fails. In conclusion, I would like to thank the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for catalyzing a large number of cervical cancer prevention studies in developing countries through the Alliance for Cervical Cancer Prevention. IARC is a member of Alliance for Cervical Cancer Prevention, and we thank the foundation for their excellent support to this important cause. A large amount of information is now available through the ACCP studies and other studies in other developing countries. And this has paved the way for very important conclusions that can be applied in the public health domain in developing countries. These are summarized in two manuals. One is published by the ACCP, Planning and Implementing Cervical Cancer Prevention and Control Programs, taking into account all the lessons that has been learned through ACCP and other studies. And very recently, the WHO has come out with a comprehensive cervical cancer control manual, a manual for practitioners, which is very useful in guiding how cervical cancer screening programs can be organized and services can be delivered in developing countries. I think we are in a very unique situation that we know we have large amount of information, and very soon there will be convincing evidence on the new screening approaches in reducing cervical cancer incidence and mortality. There's a large amount of cost effectiveness data available. So what is left is action, and I think it is time for action. Thank you for your kind attention.